And there's just such a prophetic swirl over the things that were spoken at the conference and the fact that we are in 2 Peter chapter 2 today. Everything's just coming together, and it's powerful. And it was just great to have that conference, and it's having an impact, and there's much more God wants to do. So thank you, everybody who was a part. All right, kids, you can go ahead on down to Children's Church, and let's let the rest of us turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter 2. We'll give folks a minute, kids, to go on down today. Last night, we had a powerful time praying for kids. Kids are being abused. Kids in public schools, it's abuse. The teaching of false things, the teaching against God, against godly principles, that's abuse. And a lot of them don't realize it, but it is. And that's why we have to pray. And pray that God changes things. Because it's terrible, the things that are being taught in schools in the name of education that don't belong there. There was one board, at a board meeting I saw, of a parent who read from one of the textbooks of his young elementary student, public school student, and was reading the textbook, and it was so disgusting and sexually explicit that the board members said, "Don't, you can't say that." And he said, "I am going to say it because you're saying it in the classroom to my kids and they're reading it. And if you're embarrassed by it, then why in the world are we teaching this?" So I just praise God for parents who are beginning to make stands in local communities. It's time, but we need to pray as well, because everything finds its origins in the spirit realm, which we're going to focus on today. So speaking of that, the lying media and the lying politicians have had to admit it. It looks like the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, is something that did not have natural origins. In other words, it didn't come from a natural process. They told us it came from bats that were being sold as food in a wet market in China. Problem is, that was already in a movie called Contagion. A movie that came out several years before this. That was the story. It was some bat sold in a wet market that spread this horrible virus that killed almost everybody on Earth. They had to think up something, so I guess the movie made a good plot for them. Fact is that scientists have been analyzing this virus from the very beginning. And back in April, even our own Dr. Fauci, along with a group of other scientists, discussed this virus and the fact that it has certain genetic markers that show that it was engineered. When they look at the DNA and the genetic code of this virus, there are like certain little changes here and here that don't happen naturally, that look like they were engineered on purpose. I personally believe it was a weapon of mass destruction developed by the Chinese. And it got out before they wanted it to. And like somebody once said, even the end of the world is made in China. Everything's made in China, even the end of the world. But that's not quite true, because God invented the world. He's also in charge of ending it. And that's why I'm not afraid. Because it's all in the book. It's all in the book, and guess what? We win. We win. But we need to be careful that we're staying on the right side, the winning side, because there are those who will try to persuade us to be on their side, which is not God's side. So we go to 2 Peter chapter 2, we begin in verse 1, and it says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, it's just waiting, that justice is waiting to be manifest. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. You see something here. He's talking about justice coming to the ungodly. And he gives three examples: the angels that rebelled against God, the days of Noah, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Three examples of God's justice coming as a result of sin. But look at verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Is not your soul tormented in these days? Is not your soul tormented by the evil and the wickedness and the constant violation of God's word? The going completely contrary to God's word. You know, I love people. I love all people. I love sinners. But my heart gets grieved, you know, when I've been in the hospital a lot to visit people. And everywhere you go are the flags. The flags are everywhere. And it just grieves my heart, because there are so many that are in bondage to this. And no matter what, and you might be watching, and your lifestyle, you know something's not right. You know it's just, you feel wrong, you feel the guilt, but you try to surround yourself with people who agree with you and make statements of agreement, but that doesn't help. You still have that tinge inside you of guilt. Jesus has come to cleanse us of that. But for the believers, it grieves us that we see such bold contradiction against the scriptures, what the scriptures talk about. But here's the good news. All this destruction is prophesied, and Peter warns about this destruction. But then he says in verse 9, look at verse 5. So God did not spare the ancient world, but what did he do with Noah? He saved Noah. And Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment was coming. Ashes were going to be, you know, come from heaven. But what happened in verse 7? He delivered righteous Lot. Folks, this is so important. We are not destined for the judgment of God. Those of us who have received Him into our lives and are serving Him and have given our hearts to Him and we worship God, He does not put us through judgment. We are delivered from judgment. And when judgment comes upon the world, He rescued Noah. He rescued Lot. And folks, I want to make this very clear, and I disagree with some of our speakers. We will go through tribulation, but we are not going through the great tribulation. Because everywhere in Scripture, the pattern is that God delivers His people from this widespread judgment whenever it has to come to the earth. In fact, Noah is used when Jesus is talking about deliverance from trial and the apostles. And specifically, the apostle Paul talks about Lot. If you understand Jewish rabbinic teaching, Paul the apostle was a rabbi. And he taught in a rabbinical way. You don't know this, but a lot of the New Testament is something called Pesher, and I forgot the other word for it. But it's the way that Jewish rabbis interpreted the Old Testament. And he specifically says, I don't remember, 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he specifically talks about the fact that Antichrist, the Antichrist, there will be a person named Antichrist. Josh McDonald talked about, although the spirit of Antichrist is already loosed. But the Antichrist will not be revealed until he who restrains is removed. Okay, that's in 2 Thessalonians. So, until he who restrains is removed. So some people believe it's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is removed, then the Antichrist will be revealed. No. Some say other things. He's talking about Lot. In that passage in Scripture, Paul, the rabbi, is doing a commentary on the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and how judgment was coming on Sodom and Gomorrah. But it was restrained, if you remember in that story, God restrained from pouring out judgment until Lot was taken out of the way. And so we have to be taken out of the way before the fullness of destruction can come upon this earth. That's what that's saying. Noah was delivered. Lot was delivered. And verse 9, then the Lord knows how to put people through great trials and his judgment. Oh, doesn't say that. It says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out, say out of temptations, which means trials, tribulations, out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Somebody ought to be a little bit happy here, I think. That's kind of good news. I'm not saying we're not going to go through trouble and trials. Have we not gone through some recently? But when it comes to the whole set, when it comes to that judgment of God, we're not designed for that. We're not appointed to that. God has not appointed us to wrath, the Bible says. So, I'm telling you, there's so much out of these verses, these 2 Peter 2, and then in view of all what our speakers were saying and the powerful things they were saying, it's all, my heart is so full, I didn't even get through one-third of the sermon in the early service. So, I decided I'm going to have to break this down into parts. But let's go to verse 1 again. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. There will be. So Peter, one of the reasons we're in 1 and 2 Peter is these are end times epistles to prepare us for the end times. And he says that what's going to happen is there will be false teachers, just like there were false prophets among the people in times past. And what is he talking about? He's talking about that there were false prophets in the history of Israel. And one of the most clear examples of that is found in 1 Kings 22, and we're not going to go there, but I'm just going to tell the story because I've told it here before. And what happened in 1 Kings 22 is that Jehoshaphat was a good king of Judah. Now, if you remember, and Thursday night we talk about this, how the kingdom of Israel was divided, that after David and then after Solomon, that the kingdom split, Israel split. So Judah, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and much of Levi, they stayed in Jerusalem as the capital. They were the Jewish people, so to speak. But the ten of the tribes split off, and they formed what was then, from that point on, called the Kingdom of Israel. So there was the Kingdom of Judah and the Kingdom of Israel. And they were separate kingdoms because the northern tribes rebelled. Every one of the northern kingdom kings was evil. They were all evil. And the whole nation went into idolatry, into all kinds of sin and evil. Judah had some bad kings, but Judah also had some good kings. And when there were good kings, the nation turned to God and there was a revival. When there were bad kings, the nation turned to idols and went into sin and ended up getting judged and invaded by other forces, etc. But then they'd cry out to God. God would send a good king and they'd be delivered. So Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings of Judah. Ahab was the king of Israel at that time. He was one of the most wicked of the Israel kings. So what happens? Jehoshaphat, for whatever reason, who knows why, goes to visit Ahab. Good King Jehoshaphat goes to visit evil King Ahab. And Ahab says, Hey, Jehoshaphat, I need some help. These other nations have been taking some of our territory, and I want to go get our territory back. Will you help? And for what it... Why Jehoshaphat did this, I have no idea. But he says this to the king of Israel. He says, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. In other words, yeah, I'll help. So he's going to help this evil king get his territory back and probably lost the territory because of the judgment of God. So anyway, they end up sitting on their throne. Well, Jehoshaphat says, but first of all, before we do this, can you get a prophet to tell us if this is the wise thing to do? And so all the prophets gather, and Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they sit on their thrones, and they get all dressed up, and there's all this pomp, and all the prophets have gathered around, and they start prophesying, and the king of Israel says, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight or shall I refrain? So they, all these prophets, said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, Jehoshaphat was a little bit suspect. Jehoshaphat says, is there still not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So all these prophets are prophesying, go, 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 go win the battle. You're going to win. Jehoshaphat's like, are any of these prophets of the Lord, Yahweh? Can we get one of those? And so the king of Israel says, well, there's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, or Yahweh. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. But that's what's happening today, is that we have gathered around ourselves, and people have gathered around themselves prophets to speak the things that they want to hear. And this is what Russ Klein taught on Saturday morning and talked about the Friday night of the conference, but then he went into teaching about it, that we have to be careful about those that just want to accumulate and hear from prophets that say the things they want to hear. And one of the best ways to discern if a prophet's real is that he's going to tell the truth no matter what. And if it drives everybody out, which I think Russ drove out probably 20 or 30 people from ever coming back to this conference. I do. I believe he did, because I was involved in some things that a lot of these people were involved in. And they needed to hear it, but there are people who they will accumulate. And I talked about this last week. It's in the Bible. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which means teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And so we have so many Christians that are following all these so-called prophets, and not everybody that makes a wrong prophecy is a false prophet. But if they persist in it and they double down on it and they triple down on it and quadruple down on it, what are we doing listening to them? You know what we're doing listening to them? Itching our ears, scratching our itching ears. Tell me more good news. Tell me none of this happened that happened. Tell me Joe Biden is not the president. Tell me everything that's going on in the world isn't really happening. Itching ears. prophets, true prophets, will speak the truth even when it hurts. So anyway, Micaiah is this prophet that Ahab doesn't like, but he sends out a messenger and he says, go find Micaiah. So the messenger finds him and he says, hey, Micaiah, listen, everybody's prophesying that this is going to be victory. So make sure you tell the king that this is going to be a victory. And Micaiah, he says, what I will say is what the Lord tells me to say. That's what I'll say. That reminded me of when I was a baby Christian. Yeah, I had just gotten saved. I came to college and I found some believers here. But when I went home, I didn't have a church or anything really to connect to for the summer. And I went to a Christian bookstore and I saw this poster for a Christian coffee house. Anybody remember those days? Christian coffee house. And there was going to be a band at this Christian coffee house. So Thursday night, 7:05. So I go to this place in Mount Clemens and I walked in and I thought I had just entered heaven because there was a rock band singing about Jesus. I didn't know such a thing existed. I was like, oh, this is my church. I'm committed right now. Sign me up. So I became a part of this hippie church in Mount Clemens. Oh, such great memories. We had such a great time. Anyway, yeah, see, I don't know. I still think maybe that should be a theme, but maybe for the float. I had this idea for the float that we should be Jesus freaks because the theme is decades. So we all the guys get at long wigs and beards and peace signs and stuff. And we'll sing Jesus is just all right with me and all stuff like that. So anyway, I'm part of this hippie church. And my pastor was this overwhelming figure. He's like 7'8". You know, he's just not that big, but he's really big. And he's just this strong preacher and powerful man of God. He moved in the gifts of the Spirit. And anyway, so I'm this baby Christian, and there was this friend I was trying to talk into come into this church, but he didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and stuff, so I wanted him to come and convince him this is of God. So one day I went up to Pastor, you know, I'm just a little baby Christian. I said, Pastor, I'm bringing my friend to church next Sunday. Can you talk about the gifts of the Spirit and like how it works and stuff? And he's just towering over me. And he's, you're not going to tell me what to preach. I only preach what God tells me to preach. I'm like, okay. I'm just this little baby Christian. Never again did I ever say that to any pastor. I was terrified from that point on. But here's Micaiah. He says, I'm only going to preach what the Lord tells me to preach. So he shows up on the scene. Zedekiah, the son of Kenani, he's prophesying. It says he made a horn of irons for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hands. And Micaiah's standing there, you know, while this is all happening. So King Ahab says, okay, Micaiah, what do you say? What do you say, Micaiah? And Micaiah says, go, king. You're going to win. You're going to win the battle. Go ahead. You're going to gore the enemies and go for it, man. And Ahab sees right through it. Says, how many times, Micaiah, do I have to tell you just prophesy the truth? Tell the truth. And so Micaiah says this, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. In other words, the king's going to be killed, and all of the army scattered on the ground, and the remaining ones just going home because they lost. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord. Now watch this. Watch this. We are given a window into the spirit realm here. Corey Robinson talked about this. This is one of the things that was kind of going like this, but I'm like, oh my goodness, here it is. It's right here. But we get a picture into the spirit realm. And Micaiah says, verse 19, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. This is the council room of God. This is the council of heaven sitting up there in the heavenly places, those sitting on his right, those on his left. Spirits, it's the spirit realm. Angels, we see in Job that Satan came before the Lord in this council room. There are probably demons there, there are probably angels. But this is up in heaven, we get this picture of what's going on. And listen, verse 20 says, and the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, one from this council, and another spoke in that manner. That's from that council. Then a spirit, say spirit, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. So a spirit from this council room in heaven says, I'll do it. I'll go persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, watch this. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. So the spirit is going to go and be a lying spirit in all these false prophets. Then Micaiah is talking again, and he says, therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now, Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, the one who said, you're going to gore your enemies with these horns, and he struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. And we know the end of the story. What ended up happening is those armies were defeated, like the true prophet said, contrary to the false prophets. And the king, King Ahab, was killed. And Jehoshaphat barely got out with his life, messing around with the wrong crowd. And swift destruction came upon him. So there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Say swift. Okay, that's going to be very important in a few moments that you understand that word. It never ceases to amaze me how many people will follow false prophets. It's just mind-boggling. But again, it's like I said last week, it's because people don't know their Bibles. And they don't have a discernment. They're falling for these false prophets. And false teachers and cult leaders, they gather these crowds around themselves. I was telling Gene the other day that if I was wicked and if I didn't believe in God, I would definitely become a cult leader. I would, man. You got it made. If you're a cult leader, man, oh, man, you got all this money. You got all these worshipers, you know, and you can have anything you want. Just call yourself the prophet of God. And people will throw money at you. They'll be devoted to you. Better yet, call yourself God. And people will fall for it. It's mind-boggling. There's a guy in Detroit, cult leader. He's on one of the Christian networks. He's a cult leader. And one of our guests was telling me about a friend of his in Detroit, the son of a prominent pastor in Detroit. Okay, this young man, son of a prominent pastor, grew up in the church, knew the word, had dreams of becoming a pastor like his dad, he got involved in this church led by this cult leader. Well, he got all wrapped up in it, but maybe because of his prominent status or whose son he was or whatever, he was kind of raised up to become what was commonly known as the armor bearer for this cult leader, this pastor, this apostle. And so he became the armor bearer, so he was involved in everything. He did everything. He was the servant of this guy. He was the personal servant, personal secretary slash servant. He even cleaned the bathrooms of the prophet's house, of this false apostle's house. He took care of all, drove him everywhere. He was his driver. And he was telling our guest, they met right before our conference, and he got out at the threat of death. They threatened to kill him if he left this group. But he got out. And he was telling, that's why I'm being very, careful about who I'm talking about, how I say it. But he got out and he said, listen, he said to our friend, he said, I was so deceived. This guy would tell me what women in the church to pick up in his limo and to bring over for the night. And these women thought they were serving God, serving the prophet. And this young pastor's son was so deceived he couldn't even see it. Are you with me? But see, that's what tells us what's going on, because it's deeper than just our minds. Spirits are involved. Lying spirits. And people are deceived and have been influenced by spirits. And it's very important that we know Jesus and have the Holy Spirit living inside us, that we have God Himself living inside us so we're not deceived, that we know the Word, and we can recognize that immorality is immorality. And when the guy says he's Moses and things like that, we should know from the Word of God that that cannot be. And so there's a whole unseen realm. And what we're seeing, as our souls are tormented about what we see in the world today, and all the wickedness being promoted as good, good being called evil, and evil being called good, we have to understand there are spirits behind this. There are spiritual forces. That's why 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. we are making known the wisdom of God to the powers and principalities in heavenly places. Because we are speaking into the spirit realm. And spirits are going. When in the world, I was listening to one guy today. And he was talking about, there's one day for Christmas. There's one day for 4th of July. There's one day for Easter. And there's a whole month for LGBTQ. A whole month. And have you ever seen, ever, so many corporations, schools, everything going public with flags? I go to the hospital, the flags are everywhere. God doesn't hate the homosexual. But you know what? A person can come under the influence of spirits. That's why prayer is so important. That's why knowing the Word is so important. Because as I said before, you might be struggling with this issue in your life, and you just know, even though everything you're being told to be proud and everything, you aren't. you feel that tinge of guilt, and no matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. Maybe for a few days, but you can't get rid of it. Jesus is the one who washes us from our sins. Jesus gives us the power to live righteously according to His Word. His Word is the standard. And again, we don't hate anybody. The Word is clear. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's heterosexuality that's outside of marriage, etc. So, people have made around themselves built up teachers. There's one other guy I got to tell you about. He's in South Africa. He's a pastor. Thousands of people in his church. Thousands. You can watch it on TV and on YouTube. And here he is, and he called this woman up. I'll give you one example. He called this woman up, and he starts telling her, and she's standing there, and he says, what's your name? She says her name. He says, you were born on such and such a date. She goes, yes. And you were abandoned by your father. Yes. Yes, man of God. Yes. And you have been homeless for a long time. Yes, man of God. And you, and people are just like, and that shows the crowd. People are, and people are crying and stuff, and just, wow. You watch it and you think, wow, what a gift. What an incredible prophetic gift. And he says, and you have been forced because you're homeless. A 74-year-old man invited you to live with him, but now you're sleeping with him. Just, man of God. People are crying and stuff. And then he'd lay hands on her. She'd go flying backwards, you know, and he'd call her back up and prophesy all these things. And then at the end of it all, well, I'll come back to the end of it all. So I see this, and I'm like, okay, this is, there's something not right. I can't quite see. A couple months later, a video comes out. It's that girl. And that girl says, I asked my friends to make this video and to get it out everywhere because this pastor has ruined my life. And she tells the story how they had offered, she was, her mom was really struggling with some financial things, with health issues, and she couldn't pay her doctor bills. And so somebody came up to her and offered her a certain amount of money to go to this church and play as a person who needed a word of knowledge and da-da-da and to be prophesied over. And so she agreed to do it. So they went and they told her what the prophet's going to say and that she was just to say, yes, man of God. Yes, that is correct, man of God. And they told her all the answers that she was to say. When he lays hands on you, go flying backwards and all this stuff. And she's explaining this and she said, the reason I'm doing this is because this, they actually threatened to kill me if I told anybody this, but this has already killed me. It ruined my life. Because my parents called me up and they said, why are you on national, international TV saying that we abandoned you? What's wrong with you? Have you become possessed of a devil? And they kicked her out of their family, her parents, because of what she did on TV. Her fiance, who she was engaged to, left. So what are you doing telling people you're sleeping around with a 74-year-old man? Cut off, gave his ring, or demanded his ring back. Her life was ruined. She didn't realize that this would go all international. And so she was trying to get this video out to say, none of this is true. I had to make this all up. But people fall for it. Got to be discerning. One of the first things that showed me this guy was off is then I saw a video of his motorcade when he comes to church. He's in a motorcade, and he's in this big luxury car, and this motorcade comes, and these people dressed up like soldiers are there, and he comes into the church driveway, his special entranceway. Service has already started, you know, and he comes out, and all these, his entourage comes with them all in uniforms, and he walks in the service, and in the middle of service during worship, and this big deal. And I'm like, that is not Jesus. That is not right. That is not the Apostle Paul. That is not Moses. That is not anything godly. But people fall for it. And he said, false prophets will come in the last days. And look at this, verse 3, and I'm going to have to wrap it up, and then I'm going to tell you one more thing because I promised. Verse 3 says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, I like what the New Living Translation says. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. Oh, God told me I need this very, very expensive vehicle for His glory. You are, when you give to me, you are glorifying God by giving, that the people can see that the man of God is in such a vehicle. That cult leader in Detroit had 5 luxury vehicles. By the way, he's hiding now. He invented a new lie, a clever lie. He only shows up on video anymore because he's afraid of COVID. But what he says, Well, two reasons. He's afraid of COVID and the feds are after him because he's using tax-deductible donations for his lavish lifestyle. So he's shut away with the Lord for a year. So I'm shut away with the Lord, and he does videos, and they show the videos in the service from where he's shut away. And you can see, I think I showed a video of him, you know, his luxury stairwell and stuff. He's shut away. They invent clever lies to get a hold of your money. And friends, it breaks my heart that so many churches struggle financially and so many pastors don't get paid a decent wage because the people of God are giving to these multimillionaires who aren't even saved, a lot of them. There are some big-time preachers, and they're for real, and I'm sure they have a genuine relationship with the Lord, but a lot of them are corrupt. And they just lie after lie after. I got people sending me stuff on Messenger and things of these guys that have been wrong. They've written books and they've been outright wrong. And still Christians are sending them money and supporting them and sharing their videos everywhere. And I'm like, people, wake up. And the local churches are suffering. And I'm not saying don't ever give to any other ministry, but be discerning and make sure it's after your tithe to your local church. First comes your local church. Because that's what's touching the people in the neighborhoods. So in their greed, they'll make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Here's the thing about swift destruction. A lot of us, when we read about swift destruction, where is it? Where does it say that? But anyway, we think like immediate, that God will bring about immediate destruction on false teachers and those that are liars. But it's not swift in the sense of immediate. It's swift as that when it happens, it's going to be suddenly. God actually waits, okay? God waits a long time. He gives people an opportunity to repent before he pours out his wrath. But when the wrath comes, it's immediate. And a lot of people are like what Josh shared with us at the conference. Remember when he talked about how his dad got saved when he was a teenager and they ended up starting to go to church and stuff. But he was already getting into drugs and partying and everything. And he just decided, when I'm 90 years old, then I'll give my life to Jesus. I'm just going to have a good old time till I'm 90, and then I'll give my heart to Jesus. The problem is you don't know if you're going to make it to 90, because destruction comes swiftly. It might not be immediate, but it comes. When it comes, and it comes swiftly. So don't be messing around and think that you're safe because you weren't struck with lightning. Just know that God is being patient for you to turn, and now's the time to turn. Because all these signs, and I only got to one of the signs out of three, the false prophets, the deceivers. Just one more verse. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, reserved for judgment, etc., etc. And then he tells the other two examples. But I want to close with this. Again, we're talking about there is a spirit realm. There are spirits that have rebelled against God. And this group I'm going to explain next week, because God cast down a third of the angels that rebelled with Lucifer to the earth. And here's the interesting thing. Then he creates Adam on this earth that he just cast all the devils to. And he says to Adam, take dominion. Anybody got anything there? The devil was sent down to earth. Then he creates Adam and says, take dominion. Folks, we're in charge because God put us in charge. Man, that made our prayer time exciting last night. But let me just say this. There are spiritual realities. And this was supposed to be in my next point or the point after that, but because I promised on social media, I have to talk about, did you hear about this? So, during President Trump's presidency, he demanded, along with a number of people from Congress, that the military and that intelligence, the intelligence community, would stop lying about these UFOs. And what are they? Where are they from? What, they deny things have happened, and later on they'll admit, no, we saw something, we can't explain, and then they'll deny it, and then they'll say no, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, some members of Congress, along with the president, said, enough, tell us what is going on, because if our national security is at stake here, the American people need to know. So they required that a report come out by the end of June. It came out Friday. So there's a 14-page public report that came out, and there's like a 140-page one that went, that was confidential or top secret, that just went to some of the Congress people. So what did it say? What does this have to do with anything? So what they said is that it's real. Unexplained aerial phenomenon, UAPs, otherwise known as UFOs, they exist. We no longer deny it. Our military has seen it. We've seen them on radar. We've seen them on camera. We've seen them around our military jets. We've seen them around civil airports. We've seen them around our aircraft carriers. We have seen unexplained aerial phenomenon. And they have said that this stuff we cannot explain. They do things that we do not know. Any kind of technology that can do the things that these aerial phenomena are doing. The way they move suddenly and disappear and appear and all these different things. We can't explain it. And for everything that we know, not even our potential enemies, other countries, have this kind of technology. We just simply cannot explain whatever is going on. We cannot explain this technology. That's it. So really no answers except that they exist. But they did not deny that it could be something extraterrestrial. What does that mean? Not from Earth. Okay? Extraterrestrial, not from Earth. Or it may be extra-dimensional. So whatever these things are come from another dimension of time and space that we don't know about because we just can't explain it. So, anybody remember back in the 60s and 70s? I wasn't born there yet. I was still. But anybody remember back in the 60s and 70s when all the UFOs were all over the news all the time? Remember that? They were on NBC and CBS, and Walter Cronkite, and all, you know, before all the cable and everything. So you could, they were talking about UFOs, and it became a really big deal back then. And one day we're watching the news because our family watched the news religiously. We're watching the news, and we're sitting there, and my grandma's there, and she doesn't speak English and doesn't understand a whole lot of English. But she watches the news with us. So what did they say? What did they say? So she's watching this stuff about UFOs, and all of a sudden she goes, oh, look, look. And she had these, she's an old believer Russian Orthodox, which is like a super traditional, almost like Amish, Russian Amish kind of people. And she's really the old believers Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. And she had these ice blue eyes, and they were just sparkling as she's watching this news report. And we're like, Grandma, what's going on? She goes, look, 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 Jesus is coming back soon. We're like, what? What do you mean? Why does flying saucers say Jesus is coming back? She says, they're not flying saucers. She says they're angels and they're demons and they're beginning to act in the atmosphere and they're making the way ready for Jesus to come back to earth. And she's praising the Lord. I'm like, you're nuts, Grandma. I wasn't saved yet. My grandma is a prophet. She prophesied my birth. And I look at that now and think, my goodness, all this stuff is all happening at once, you know? The coronavirus, the heat wave. Oh, there have always been heat waves. No, there hasn't. All-time record highs. Buildings collapsing because the earth opened up, you know? All this crazy stuff going on in our world. Now UFOs. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And these are all signs. And you know, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Well, let me hear. It says, He made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you are walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Unexplained aerial phenomenon. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I don't know if I have the other scripture. Look at this. Luke 21. Then he, Jesus, said to them, nation will rise against nation. These are end time signs. Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, pandemics. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And I could show you scripture after scripture of the signs in the heavens that will come. Folks, get ready. Get ready. Be ready. If you're not ready, get ready now. Get ready now. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll wait till right before, like, you know, when I begin to see Jesus coming through the clouds, I'll repent. You don't know if you'll be here. You need to be ready now. And so would you just, could we all stand? Father, we come to you today. And we come, I think of my grandma, how excited she was. She didn't get to live to these days. Oh, she'd be so excited. Lord, let us not fear, because we know what the book says. We know that who we're connected with. We know that we are on heaven's side, those of us who have made our commitment to you. And I pray if there's anyone watching or listening to this on the podcast or watching this online, or anybody in this room that doesn't have that confidence that they are in relationship with God, that this would be their moment. And I just want, this is what you need to know. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he was seen by many witnesses. And the Bible says that if we confess Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you know what? You don't have to wait till you're perfect. You don't, well, I'll get my life together, then I'll do this. No, you can't get your life together. Spirits may be influencing you. You need to get to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, so that you can have victory over those influences that are all around you. And so don't wait to get right. Don't wait to have your life change. Don't wait for your desires to change. I talked about the rainbow flags. There's some of you struggling with this issue. Don't wait until all your desires go away. Turn to Jesus. Let him do something in you that I've heard of many people. Friends, personal friends of mine that have seen, are just walking in freedom and joy because they were given the power by God himself to live this Christian life. So, Lord, come in. Say this with me. Everybody here, everybody on TV, everybody listening on the podcast, just say this with me right now. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I want to be ready. Come into my life. Guide me and lead me and protect me. And Lord, I say this with me. Lord, I give myself to you, and I trust you to change me where I need to be changed. Thank you that you make me ready. Amen. Amen. And God, just touch people, bless people, protect them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua means God's salvation. Jesus means God's salvation.
Yeshua.